Do you want to be popular or do you want to be paid?
I'm a busy mom trying to grow my business online, but I feel stuck. Do I need to focus on branding or marketing first?
I look at marketing as the umbrella, right? And under marketing is branding, it's PR, it's advertising. We have a five-factor framework that puts all these puzzle pieces together to make marketing click. The five-factor framework is credibility, know, like, and trust, usability. The next one is sellability. Why you versus someone else? We can't hide out behind our laptops. We can't just passively post.
Meet Lori Thomas Ross. She's a marketing optimization expert, speaker, and lifestyle business owner who loves to help get companies get great marketing results.
When you know what your value is, it sometimes doesn't matter how beautiful something is. We've got to reach out.
I'm interested in pivoting stories because we're all pivoting queens, I believe, at this point, because I've pivoted. I don't even know what number I'm at right now, but I've done it so many times. But I want to hear about you.
Pivoting queen sounds like a new business. I love that. I am totally going to borrow that. So without taking too much time, my career began in luxury retail. I was in management at Saks Fifth Avenue. I was in the closets of fabulous clients and helping them dress for all their lives and homes and events. And I had a client who was literally in the fitting room who was like, you need to leave this job and come work for me and work on the internet. I learned a lot. And then it really bothered me that I didn't have a college degree. And I was watching, especially as an advertising salesperson, I would say to clients, you know, I think I and help you with your copy and I can make it better so that we get more clicks and let's talk about your landing page. And they were like, la, 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 we just want to buy the visibility. And I was like, but do you want sellability? And so even though I was a salesperson, I've always had a marketing brain. But anyways, I left my dot-com boom job. I went back to college with my dot-com money. Years had gone by. I think I taught for UC Santa Barbara and eventually Berkeley picked up my classes for 8 years. And I had students who had left my classes, you know, after they got their certificates and moved on, who kept asking me to consult. And I was like, consulting? I don't know. And it was just one of those, sometimes you just have to say yes. And so I did. And I found myself consulting and making a really big impact. And that's when I realized that consultants solve problems. And I didn't want to be in the machine. I didn't want to be a corporate person. And so I left a six-figure, amazing job in stunning Santa Barbara, California. And I went home with my little box, including my red stapler from Office Space. And I emailed everyone on my Hotmail list. And I let them know that I was starting my own business, and that was in 2005. And so all these years later, you know, the company's evolved, my team has evolved, my why, my purpose, my everything.
Pivoting is scary because, you know, you're in the comfort of your own skin and you're like, well, but I know how to do this so well, you know, like your job. And you're like, no, I'm great at Saks. This is exactly what I need to be doing. But now we're in such a different environment, I feel, where a lot of mom content creators that I know in particular, they started doing this from their homes because they're either stay-at-home moms, corporate moms that want to stay-at-home moms, or they are actually working and doing content creation, and they're just afraid to take that leap.
It's important to think about too, especially for all of the content creators out there, that it's our personal brand. And so we all have a personal brand, whether we're managing it or not. And when I was in sales, I had a great reputation doing that. Transitioning into marketing, I had to kind of explain why it made sense for me to be in marketing and, you know, prove myself there. But I mean, literally going from shop girl to advertising online salesperson to marketing director to all of that to professor, on paper, it may not have made sense, but my journey all ties in. And actually, one of the common themes, especially starting in retail, I had a knack for optimizing departments, whether it was a struggling department, maybe Nordstrom or Neiman Marcus was doing a better job with certain designers, I could go in and resurrect these departments and help steer events, you know, build up clientele, identify the right people for that. And so optimization has been part of whether I was in advertising sales, making things better for clients and optimizing their campaigns, optimizing my retail departments. in marketing going in, and one of my, I think it was my second to last corporate job, I was serving as like an internal consultant to all these vice presidents within this corporation. And so I helped them optimize, and I was helping them look at the numbers and make things better. And that's what I loved. And with teaching, I would watch my students make their marketing better or get that next great job and market themselves better. But we have a personal brand that's going to be with us throughout our entire career, and harnessing the power of that and knowing who we are, what we do, whom we serve, our magic, you know, that will stay with us, whether we're public speaking or we're creating content or we're shifting that into selling sponsored content. There's so many different things. And at the end of the day, we're not just selling our business services, right? Like, I look at it as, what are we providing from a solutions perspective? And that has been, you know, I feel like that's so valuable, and just the power of content. You know, I failed to mention in my journey that in all that, you know, I had started a business, rebranded the business. If it wasn't for my content, I wouldn't have gotten my book deal with McGraw-Hill. They told me after we inked the deal that I wasn't the only author they were considering. And because of my content, they saw the proof of thought leadership. And now video is content, podcasts are content, photography is content. And so all of that becomes part of our marketing arsenal, if you will.
That's very interesting. I like your idea about solutions. You're seeing it from a solutions perspective. And this is actually really important because, again, there's such a mix with that where people think, oh, these are my services, this is what I can do, but I never put it together in the way that you phrased it. Like, oh, if you just put it in a solutions perspective, what are you doing for the other person to solve that problem? I feel like that's going to be a huge game changer in business, in my opinion. Now, I actually found the message from the mom. I'm going to read it. Okay, so she says, "Hey, Fran, I'm a busy mom trying to grow my business online, but I feel stuck. Do I need to focus on branding or marketing first? I barely have time for either. And honestly, I don't even know what the difference is. I just want people to know what I do and trust me enough to buy from me. Where do I start?"
I look at marketing as the umbrella, right? And under marketing is branding, it's PR, it's advertising, it's messaging, it's video, it's all of those things. I would have to look at, you know, the person's brand and see what it is. But how do we clearly communicate who we are, what we do, whom we serve, the value of what we do? You know, I find when you simply look at it from an educational perspective, it takes a lot of the ick, yuck out of marketing and the stress, prioritizing the need to haves over the nice to haves. And having a strong brand is valuable. It's incredible. You know, I mean, my company is called Marketing Therapy. That's kind of out there. It has actually helped repel the wrong types of clients. So I'm not even talking with people that don't get it or don't find it like, oh, that's interesting. But it also has given me what I call a blue ocean. And there's a wonderful book, it's an older book called Blue Ocean Strategy. Instead of trying to compete in the, you know, heavily competitive waters, how do we create these blue oceans? And when I started my business in my late 20s, I was in Santa Barbara, California. My quote unquote competitors, who I didn't really see as competitors, but they saw me as a competitor, they were male, pale, and stale. And they were just like, oh, we do results and we do analytics and data. And they were like speaking this bro language. And I just was like, that's not me. Mm-hmm. And my clients were repeatedly calling me their marketing therapist. I would get calls like, Lori, I got to get on your couch. Holy moly, that was like a therapy session. Whoa, you just mediated the most, you know, awkward conversation with our web guy that was holding our site hostage, and now everything's great. Oh my gosh, you're amazing. You're like a therapist. And my clients didn't know each other.
Keywords.
Right? Right. And I love to talk, but listening is my super ninja skill. And so rebranding, you know, for me personally as the marketing therapist, but my company is Web Marketing Therapy. It gave us this clarity with our messaging of that we diagnose, we prescribe, and guide. There is no services page on our website. There's a solutions page on our website. And when I speak with clients, I spend a lot of time listening and understanding. And sometimes what they say they think they need may actually not be that. It might be that after other things happen. But going back to that diagnose, prescribe, and guide, we have a five-factor framework that puts all these puzzle pieces together to make marketing click. But all of this language came through having a clear brand. That's not to say I wasn't doing the exact same work under my original name of Lori Thomas Web Marketing, Very Not Creative. I was still getting paid the same. I was still building my clientele. But as I looked at the future of where I wanted to go, I wanted to build a team. I couldn't do all the work myself. I didn't want my name on the business. I wanted it to be less about me and more about the we and the team and the collective and the client. And so there is tremendous power branding. But I do want to say that when I started, I actually showed our, we have a new intern who just started this week, and I showed her my original website, because you can go to archive.org and you can pull up, you know, old website pictures. And we had a good belly laugh because it was the most ridiculous, like, bad design. It looked like a 12-year-old did it, because I'm not a designer. I'm a creative director, but that's all I could afford. But I didn't apologize. And the copy was good. I owned it. I was confident. And when you know what your value is, it sometimes doesn't matter how beautiful something is originally. Like, you know, you make your money, you can invest money back in the business. So to go back to the question of branding or marketing, it does depend, but it depends on a lot of factors. You know, there's the, do you want to be popular or do you want to be paid question? Mm-hmm. And we have to make money, honey, right? Like, we can't be spending hours at our laptops creating content and not monetizing it. So we've got to figure out what it is that is going to pay the bills. And there may be some strategic steps to help better differentiate or build more credibility, maybe through an optimized brand. But, you know, just throwing money at a sexy new brand isn't necessarily going to put more money in your bank. So these are deeper conversations and getting into really the nuts and bolts of what's currently fueling the business revenue-wise, what is the potential of the business, and then what steps will help get you there.
What's the common problem that clients, like a shell problem, you know, that you get this frequently that they come to you for, that you're like, why is this coming up so often? Like, seriously?
I would say the biggest challenge is, well, two things. One is called what I call creative direction. People that will say, you know, I'm working with a website design firm. I just don't think they get it. Mm-hmm. And then I look at the website and I might go, wow, it looks so much better than your existing site. But then I look at the copy, I'm like, oh, they copied all the same language from the old site that's probably copied from 2004 over to something else. And so we cannot expect, you know, as an agency owner, I find that business owners just don't know how to creative direct. I've been in sales and marketing my whole career. I know how to look at something and say, oh, yeah, that's pretty, but it's not working. And I'll share a five-factor framework. This will help as well. Okay. But the creative direction, the inability to really direct a designer to the finish line is a big problem I see. And the other one is simply copy. And, like, right, this is our tribe. I mean, you guys all get it. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe how many organizations, just in leaders and talented, gifted professionals, have a challenge articulating their value in a clear way. And we say at Web Marketing Therapy that you want to voice your value and your values, because we want to create a connection. But the five-factor framework is credibility, know, like, and trust, usability, you know, making things easy to use, learn more, click here, buttons that look clickable, clear navigation, visibility. You know, we can be the best at what we do, but if no one knows, what's the point? We have to get ourselves out there. And I do want to go back to that one. The next one is sellability. Why you versus someone else? It can be testimonials. It can be better clarifying your distinction. And the last piece is scalability. We have to look at our business as a long game. This is not, you know, like a quick and dirty right. kind of thing, right? Where they say quick and dirty is always quick, but you always end up dirty. I mean, I've never looked at my business as something like to get through the next month or the next year. I'm always thinking about where we're going. I'm watching the evolution. The only constant in this wacky, wild, wonderful web world is change. And so, you know, what was hot 6 months ago isn't anymore. But to the point on visibility, we can't hide out behind our laptops. We can't just passively post, you know, the content. We've got to reach out. We've got to pick up the phone. We've got to send emails out. I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I didn't initiate stuff. I mean, I've literally written emails to people that I knew darn well the busy person would have to just forward. Mm-hmm. And I write them in a way that says everything I want to say and kind of cues it up to get it to the right person to get there. And I do think that comes from my recovering salesperson background. I know that people making sales decisions are busy. I know that they're scanning emails. I know that they have to sell it to someone else sometimes. And anything that we can do to make things easy, you know, and not, not task oriented. And, you know, I mean, I think even like my HR company, they're sending me all this paperwork and I'm just like, just send me the 3 pages I have to sign. And they're like, they just don't get it. Right. So anything we can do to streamline the process will put more money in our pockets.
See, I love that. And I really want to hone in on that because I feel like optimization is super key in the entire marketing sphere, especially with that question about lack of time. And we're doing so many things. So in the beginning, you're the content creator, you're the editor, you're the blogger, you're on the website, you're basically doing 1,000 jobs. You get the picture. So having that visibility, because we mostly live behind the screen, behind the computer, just like you said, that's a big deal for me because I see a lot of people, or actually, let me go even further. I see a lot of ads marketing towards faceless brands. You know, they're saying, that's okay. If you're a faceless brand, come over. I'm going to show you how to do that too. And I always thought to myself, that's great, but I feel like that's where the power of personal branding comes in. It's not the whole picture, but it's part of the picture. Yeah. Who is this person? Like if a faceless brand is like, hey, I'm going to teach you how to grow to 10,000 subscribers or whatever, I'm not going to want to buy from that. I don't know who you are. In my view, that's just me. Maybe other people will buy. I don't know. But behind the computer is very powerful because if you think that you're posting out content like, oh, I'm posting out blogs, I'm posting out videos, I'm posting out this. But again, I love what you said earlier. We got to make the money, honey.
We got to make money, honey. No, seriously, right? We can't be victims in our business.
And exactly.
Yeah. I mean, when we have to be mindful of that, I've, you know, lost, you know, oxygen sometimes listening to other folks say, oh, just let go of the ledge. And I'm like, well, yeah, but you still got like kids to feed and mm-hmm. mortgages to pay and all of that. Yeah, but always looking at the future of the business and the unique value and finding ways to get in front of the right audiences, thinking about the right rooms. Like, you know, when we're talking about posting content, I've used the analogy before in talks of we don't walk into a bar and go, hey, you want to get married? Like, and people are like, ew, like, we don't know you. We don't know anything about you.
What is this about?
We have to date before we get married in business. And people do get to know us through our content. And it's not just a one video or one podcast. It's this consistency and this trust that's being built, right? Going back to the five factors: credibility, usability, visibility, sellability, scalability. All of this is like, all of your content is like a good stock, right? And mm-hmm, with any, like, you know, when you're investing, these small investments compound over time to make a big difference. And so how do we look at ways to optimize? And, you know, you might go back and go, I think my Instagram profile description, I haven't updated that in a while. we're doing work for a client right now. And I noticed even her highlights they're kind of dated in that, like, it was kind of the original version of her brand. And now that she's gone and grown to new heights, we're redesigning them. And it's something that's so small, but always looking, it's important to look forward, but it's also important to look back-ish in that you want to look at your website, you want to look at your social media profile descriptions, anything that people can scan and read, those are opportunities. Oh my gosh, even our LinkedIn profiles, one of the most untapped opportunities to connect, and especially on a professional level. And sometimes we think, oh no, I'm a blogger, I'm a podcaster, like it's more Instagram, it's more, you know, whatever. But the search engines are picking up all of these social media profiles, and LinkedIn is one of them that is absolutely important. And
yes.
Yeah, but I look at marketing from a holistic perspective, just like in fitness, right? You don't go to the gym every day and then eat McDonald's and expect to get a result. Sorry, McDonald's, but you know, there
sorry, is, McDonald's,
it's not. It's delicious. I eat it. I'm just saying.
I literally had that last night because I had nowhere else to eat.
Yes, and when you're traveling, you got to do what you got to do. But yeah, looking at the whole picture, you know, and so sometimes you're like, huh, I'm doing a lot of pitches, but I'm not getting the results. Oh, well, you know, maybe my website could use a little refresh, or maybe people hit the homepage and it's not clear what I do as well as it could be, or oh, maybe that stock photo that I used 8 years ago is dated. There's so many things to look at in critically evaluating our marketing, and always putting our best foot forward is absolutely a must. I was actually walking my dog this morning thinking about one of my clients who's trying to get his website through the finish line. And the website is really beautiful. It's very trendy. It's like a very, like, you know, lots of movement and animation. And I just thought, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think about people who are really, like, trendy and personal style, right? Like, when you're trendy like that, you always have to keep buying the new trends, versus having maybe a more traditional website, which may be a little more classic. And there's no right or wrong to either one, but it's just thinking about the approach, which does go back to our own style and our marketing. And, you know, we have our expertise, but we also have our personality, and that needs to come through in our marketing. But we also have to think about style, the way we speak, the way we write, the way our brand looks, you know, all of it needs to be not only on brand, but it needs to be on purpose.
I really, like, I can resonate with that because I'm very picky with colors and, you know, words. And I don't know if it's just, sometimes I get so mad at myself where I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to like overlook this too much, or like, oh, did I sound okay? Did I say something that offended someone? You know, like those little nuggets of things that come up. But I do want to focus on one thing. You talked about visibility. Is there one advice that you would give on visibility besides we talked, is social media okay? Like just continue with social media and then use that as your, I guess, a portion of your credibility / visibility? Or do you have any other recommendations? Because there's so many things out there. There's Facebook groups, there's LinkedIn, there's just so many places where you could be. Or do you have another recommendation for that?
I recommend that you create, execute, and monitor, and rinse, repeat. I always evaluate what I'm doing. And I'll find things like on LinkedIn, I'll post, and you know, reality check, I'm not a Kardashian, so I'm not going to like blow up the internet with my posts, but I'll post things. And even though I may not get gajillions of likes and responses, I'll hear from people in my professional circles who are part of my business puzzle. I saw that you were mentoring a high school senior at that Girl Scout CEO camp. And I'm like, oh, and they may not have liked it or commented on it, but I'm finding that those circles still work. I also look at where I'm at. I used the analogy before, being in the right rooms. If I'm speaking, if I'm paid to speak, that's very different. If I'm speaking for free somewhere, I evaluate at the end, was that worth my time? Did I get quality leads? And sometimes those leads may come in months later. But I'm always thinking about, like, are these the right people? Like, who, even in our employee handbook, we identify who our ideal audiences. And it's not income level, it's not even, you know, industry specific, it's very psychological. There's certain psychological traits that make our clients ideal clients. And yes, they do have successful businesses, but it's not necessarily a certain dollar amount. And so when you're looking at visibility, it's coming at it, you know, really from a place of love versus a place of fear. And when I say that, I think about folks who are like, I'm working with an SEO person and I'm spending XYZ a month and I'm just afraid if I stop, I'll lose all my visibility. I'm like, well, why don't you stop and see if you lose all your visibility and save that you know, $500 to $2,500 a month or whatever you're paying, and just see. I think one of the best ways to evaluate if your visibility is working or not is sometimes to hit the pause button. But it's understanding also too that there is that credibility of posting.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be all the time. I say right. quality over quantity, but it's the consistency. And that can also show that you mean business, you know, just even right. if you're posting once a month, then it's like, oh, okay. And again, that may be super small for some people. And for some clients we've served, we found that they're posting too much. They may have been working with a social media agency right. that was just, you know, was of the mindset that they had to be posting 5 days a week. And if this person is in a professional world where they're doing a lot of client work, it might also send the wrong message that you're desperate, right? That you're not working. And so you have right. to think about the psychological impact of what you're putting out there. But if the content is quality, and if, you know, if you're getting response, you know, I'd say keep going. But there's also ways to get visibility outside of your posts, you know, whether you're guest posting or you're on other people's podcasts, finding things like that. And, you know, I did a video course for a company years ago, and it was a very lucrative, what do they call it? Royalties. You know, the royalties right. I made were substantial. The only client I got out of it was a weirdo. And it was just not, the people who were going into this learning place were more do-it-yourselfers, and they just weren't the type of client. They liked my stuff. I had really great responses from my courses, but it didn't yield. And so when I thought about, should I do more with them? I was like, you know, it's just not in alignment with where my magic is. So it's just really looking at it from a place of, you know, does this work? And think about the clients you love working with, you right. know, and how do you get more of those? What rooms are they in? And that's where you want to find yourself being. But yeah, there's groups, there's so many different ways to look at visibility, PR, all of the above.
I love it. Thank you so much for that. And literally, thank you so much for all of this valuable information that you gave me. I've literally, you are my marketing therapist.
Anytime.
I feel like, you know what? Your clients are right. Cause I feel with you so like calm, and I'm just like, man, I feel like I could just talk to you about anything. I did want to ask you, where can everyone find you?
Definitely online. My website, webmarketingtherapy.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram, all the places, but yeah, I would say just Google Lori Thomas Ross and let me know. And especially if you mention, you know, that you heard about me through this podcast, you know, I would love to connect.
Lori, thank you for this. This was amazing. And remember, your voice is powerful, your brand is needed, and your story matters. So keep showing up. Thank you, everyone.